Has our own experience of the Holy Spirit been life-changing? Think about it for a moment. Is there evidence that our lives have been transformed by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us? Maybe our honest answer is no, not really. Or maybe the answer is yes. Either way, I think it's safe to say we could all use more Holy Spirit in our lives, because I don't know anyone suffering from too much Holy Spirit. So to understand and believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, let us start by putting ourselves in the apostles' sandals on Pentecost 1,985 years ago. Just imagine the scene. We're in Jerusalem in a large upper room in someone's house. Our best friend, who we just spent 3.5 years of our lives with, has been crucified, was raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven, which we witnessed with our very own eyes. But before he left, he told us he was going to send us the Spirit. We're not sure who the Spirit is that we are waiting for, nor do we know how much longer we're going to be waiting. Then suddenly, this rushing wind fills the room, and tongues of fire come down to rest on each of us. We're filled with the Holy Spirit and start talking about God in all these different languages, which we have never spoken before. Now flash back for a moment to just about 50 days before, earlier, when Jesus was arrested and we all scattered in fear. Yet today is different. On this Pentecost, everything changes as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Each of our lives are completely transformed. In fact, just later this day, Peter preaches, and 3,000 people were baptized and received the Holy Spirit. From this birthday of the church, all 12 apostles dedicated their lives to Jesus and boldly preaching his gospel, even if it cost them their lives. James the Greater did so and was stabbed with a sword. James the Lesser was stoned to death for his preaching. Thaddeus was filled with arrows for his faith. Thomas was thrust with a spear for proclaiming the gospel. Matthew was stabbed with a sword. Paul was beheaded. Bartholomew was flayed and beheaded. Andrew, Philip, and Simon were crucified, and so was Matthias. Peter was crucified upside down. Only John died a natural death. For these believers, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, their faith was not a lukewarm, safe, comfortable, only when it's convenient type of Christianity. The Holy Spirit's fire had lit a spark inside their hearts and fanned the flames to create a passionate, unquenchable love for Jesus and his church. Because of the apostles' life-changing experience with the Holy Spirit, there are 2.2 billion Christians alive today. So what about us Christians today? How do we know when the Holy Spirit is alive and active inside us? Well, our second reading from Paul tells us some of the fruits of the Spirit that give glory to Jesus and build up his church. So we can recognize how the Spirit might work within our lives, or how he wants it to work within our lives. It's helpful for us to see how the Spirit has manifested some of these fruits in the lives of others. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. It makes me think back to when I was 18. Little did I know at the time, but there was a beautiful 16-year-old girl who was praying for God to bring a good guy into her life. I was surprised to find out that the Holy Spirit thought I fit that definition. All I knew at the time was that I had this feeling that the Holy Spirit was pulling me to ask the sophomore to my senior prom. She said yes. And 21 years later, we've had a life full of love. Now, the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. It was on September 17, 2013. I just started the first year of a 4-year deacon schooling program. And at this point in my life, I've only been to weekday mass a few times in my life. But something was different that morning. It was almost like the Holy Spirit had put a magnet inside my heart and put the attracting magnet inside Corpus Christi. There was something I felt like God was drawing me to go to Mass that day, that he had some message that he wanted me to hear. So when I pulled into the parking lot that day, I was 8 minutes late for Mass, and quite frankly, I was thinking, I shouldn't even go in. It's going to be too embarrassing walking in the chapel, not many people there, me being so late. But I followed the Spirit and went in. And just as I opened the doors to the chapel, one of the few Bible verses that talks about deacons began to be read. This reaffirmation of God's call to become a deacon brought great joy into my life. Now, the third fruit is peace. Fast forward a couple years later, and I got the deacon school equivalent of being called into the principal's office. I was told I was at risk of flunking out of deacon school if I didn't ace the next two remaining papers and exams I had to complete over the next month. So I went home that night, and my heart was troubled. But the next morning, I remember laying in bed and praying this prayer to God. I said, God, if it's your will for me to become a deacon and continue on this path, please give me a sign and make it obvious so I'm not trying to read into every little thing some meaning. So that night, as I left work, I went home a different route than I normally do because I had to deposit a check at the bank. And as I pulled onto Heather Downs, this church sign caught my eye. I'd never seen this message before and haven't seen it since. But the message said, if you're looking for a sign from God, this is it. My heart went from being troubled to feeling peace. Now, the fourth fruit is patience. And if we want an example of the power of the Holy Spirit's patience to change lives, we need to look no further than St. Monica. Her son, Augustine, was a very accomplished sinner. He was lazy. He didn't believe in Jesus. He slept around, the list goes on and on. And to make matters worse, Monica's husband also didn't share her Christian beliefs, and he cheated on her. She wept and prayed daily and nightly for her husband's conversion and her son's conversion to become Christians, and that they changed their ways. After weeping and praying night and day, Monica's husband was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. After patiently praying daily for her son for over 10 years, Augustine was baptized, became a bishop, and a saint. Kindness is the next fruit. Saint Therese of Lisieux was known for her small acts of kindness, a simple smile, and a kind word to those that she encountered. Making this fruit of the Spirit visible in our lives is something each of us can do today. Next is generosity. And when I think of generosity, I think of Dorothy Day, who we have a wood sculpture of in the back there. You see, she felt like she had very little to give after having had an abortion, a failed marriage, two suicide attempts, and a child born out of wedlock. Yet in the midst of this, the Holy Spirit took her mess and made it the Holy Spirit's message. A message of transformation and generosity. In the midst of the Great Depression, Dorothy co-founded the Catholic Worker Movement, which in part opened the first house of hospitality to feed and house the homeless and unemployed. And today there are 240 such houses like this across the nation. Next is faithfulness. We need to look no further than our own Deacon Jim Moncher, who today is celebrating the anniversary of 23 years of serving as a deacon to the church. Next is gentleness. A few months ago, I had the privilege of serving at one of the confirmation masses, and as I was standing next to the bishop holding the chrism oil, I had the great privilege of seeing these eighth graders walk up to the bishop one by one and look him in the eye as he called their names and said to them, "Be sealed with the Holy Spirit." And I was really, truly touched by the gentleness that I saw in their eyes as they looked up, trusting, innocent, believing. Next is self-control. When we're tempted to gossip, overeat, or we're tempted to look at something on our computer or our phone that we know we shouldn't, let us ask the Holy Spirit to give us the self-control we need by simply saying the four words we just sung. Come, Holy Spirit, come. May each of us today and every day say, come, Holy Spirit, come. And follow where the Holy Spirit is leading us. Then Jesus will be glorified. The church will be built up. And for those to whom the Holy Spirit is invisible, the Holy Spirit will be made visible to those we encounter. And our experience of the Holy Spirit will truly be life-changing.